ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Continuing the subject of what it means to be a sincere follower of Srila Prabhupada. I have many notes on this, but I'm not going to speak as long as I had originally intended to. I didn't realize it was going to take up so much time. I think those of you who have heard it have got the general gist. The point is that we should be sincere followers of Srila Prabhupada. Without sincerity, what is the use of anything? That means we're just small-minded, petty creatures. Not sincere means we're cultivating ridiculous desires for sense gratification, either gross or subtle. What is the use of all this? We should rise above all of this and simply surrender to Krishna. And for those of us who are within ISKCON, then surrender to Krishna means by serving Srila Prabhupada and his mission wholeheartedly. So I'm not going to go through all those notes, but I'm going to read a couple of letters that I received recently. Both of them from senior devotees. They're not initiated by Srila Prabhupada, but they've both been in the movement more than 30 years. One of them actually joined the movement before Srila Prabhupada left, but he didn't get initiated by Srila Prabhupada. They're both householders. They both live in different parts of the world, thousands of miles away from each other. And they both have many children. And they're both committed to Krishna consciousness in what we nowadays call the traditional way. Previously, we used to just call it Krishna consciousness. Now we call it a traditional approach to Krishna consciousness. So the context of these letters, I had sent them, both of them, an essay, short essay that I'd written. I'd asked them for feedback for essays that I've written for my upcoming Vaishnav Culture, Etiquette and Behavior book. So one of the essays I wrote was about the principle of following authority, which is an essential principle in any civilized society, although the modern concept seems to be more one of having as little authority as possible and giving as little respect to others as possible. Or if you give respect to people for completely ridiculous reasons, such as their ability in India to hit a ball with a piece of wood, or in other parts of the world, it's more popular to kick a ball around. And I just realized that I'm going to be in the West when this Soccer World Cup is going on, which is like the biggest tamasha in the world every 4 years. Tamasha, for those of you from South, you know what that means? It's like a silly entertainment show. So the principle, I sent the essay on the principle of authority, and I stated that it's within Vedic society, as in most societies throughout the world previously, it was just an accepted part of life. That from the beginning you accept the authority of your parents, and then you come to accept the authority as of others. The authority of the king is unquestionable, the authority of the guru is unquestionable, the authority of the brahmana is unquestionable. But what has happened all over the world is that it has become questionable due to the persons who are being respected not acting in a respectable manner. And instead of exercising their authority to benefit others, they exercise their authority to benefit themselves. Or at least they think it's for themselves, that's why. When politicians say that this is, I'm doing seva, janta, kaliye, seva, I'm doing the seva for the people, no one believes them. It's understood that they're lying and they're cheating and that they're a politician because they want to increase their own financial economic situation. Or there may be others who, maybe others, in fact, the present Prime Minister, not Prime Minister for very long, probably. He said he won't be next time anyway, even if his party comes in. He's reputed to be an honest man. And what's he doing in politics? Or it's said that the hottest candidate for the next, to be the next Prime Minister is also not after money, but there seems to be prestige, power, some interest like that. So they're not fully selfless. The in Vedic culture, the selflessness of a leader, by which he can be a good leader, is that he is seen as, and he sees himself as, in that situation, as a representative of the Supreme Personality of God. Therefore said, Matri Devo Bhava, Pitri Devo Bhava, then Acharya Devo Bhava, Atiti Devo Bhava. They're representatives of God. Naranam Chaniradhipam, Krishna says in the Gita. Among men, I am the leader of men, the king. The guru is respected because a representative of God. Brahmana is respected because he is representative of God. Bhudeva. So if those who are in leadership position think that they are discharging their responsibility as a duty in service to the Supreme Lord, then they're respected as such. And that was there in the Western world also, previously. The king was considered to be the representative of God. But when it was seen that they were more representatives of their genitals, then they got rejected one by one. Their main interest in life is tongue, belly, and genitals, which means that they have no higher position. They're just shudras. This is stated in Bhagavatam that in Kali Yuga, prajaste bhakshayishanti mlecha raja nirupina. The so-called kings will be mlechas, who will simply exploit the citizens. It actually literally says eat them, which some rulers in my lifetime have actually, at least one was known for eating his political opponents after killing them. And there about that. Idi Amin in Uganda. They chased him out. He was taken in by Saudi Arabia. I don't know if it's halal or not, but he used to eat his political opponents. So, sincere follower means we accept the authority. And the authority, Srila Prabhupada delegated that to the GBC body. So in this, and the temple presidents and so on. So in this essay, I established that principle. And I know that as a principle, it's not very well established in our ISKCON at the present day for the same reason as it's not very well established in the world in general, that people don't trust the leaders because of their poor track record. But it's still a principle. We can't deny that. And it's not that we forever in ISKCON we want that there will be mistrust of leaders. We want that the leaders who we can look up to, and instead of thinking how to avoid them or manage them or somehow or other go on with our devotional service despite the leaders, we would like that there are leaders who we could go to with full trust that they have our best interest in heart and that they are competent to guide us in Krishna consciousness. I wrote this essay and I sent it out to these two devotees to get their feedback, because when you're writing, which is meant for the public consumption, it's good to get feedback from the kind of people who are going to read it. So get some response. I remember my Brahmachari book, I had it reviewed by one or two devotees. It was a lot heavier. People say it's a heavy book. It was a lot heavier. They suggested I tone it down. I remember there was one statement that when you wake up, you should get up and not just lie there like a dog. Some statement like that. So I just edited some things out at the suggestion of others. So I wrote this and I put a footnote that I understand that this principle is not very strongly adhered to at the present time for various reasons, but it's just the principle, and in future publications I intend to examine some of the problems with the application of that principle. But the response I got, I'll read. I'll read from one devotee. He wrote to me, "While in principle I completely agree with all that you have written, however, in practical application, due to all of the things I've seen go on over the years, the blatant exploitation, manipulations, lying and misrepresentation of Srila Prabhupada's teachings for individuals personally making a career in certain posts within the society and continue to be allowed to go on even, in capital letters, after many of us reporting things to our TPs, regional secretaries and or GBCs, only to find that they close rank to protect themselves and their, quote, interests, unquote. It's a painfully hard and jagged little pill to swallow. Personally, I've had many battles against deviant authorities. When humble submissions failed, we took down Bhagavan Das, quote, Goswami, unquote, after his angry tirade, after he was robbed due to falling asleep with his door open at the Krishna Balaram guest house in 1984 and his passport and $20,000 was taken from his room. He angrily accused all the devotees living in Vrindavan as being thieves. 'Do you know who I am?' he raged." Well, there's a good one for all of you who are leaders. Don't ever get in that trip. "Do you know who I am? I'm so great. You're not treating me with a proper respect." One should not demand respect. One should command it. There may be some grounds for demanding or also. That's also there. That not exactly demanding, but in some situation it may be pointed out that just like the teacher may point out to the children in the classroom that you should listen to the teacher. He may not say you should listen to me, but he may say you should listen to the teacher to establish the principle. That's why devotees sometimes ask that Krishna sometimes speaks in the third person in the Bhagavad Gita. But that's done in normal conversation, in certain circumstances also. When Krishna says, for instance, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hridesha Juna Tishtati, he's pointing out that it's him, no doubt, but he's pointing out that that's his function as Ishvara. He's the Ishvara. So, back to this letter. In such and such a temple, when I was on the management committee, we had to pass a policy that no devotee was allowed to pick up, quote, VIPs, unquote, from the airport. No one devotee was allowed to pick up. As what was happening repeatedly, that one or two were filling sannyasis' ears with political nonsense, loading them to shoot at the community of devotees from the Bhagavatam class asana. You understand that one devotee would go to the airport, pick up the incoming sannyasi and tell them, this is going on, that one's in Maya, this one's in Maya, it's his own political agenda. And then the sannyasi shoots at everyone from the asana in the class. One such incident was foiled when the old Mahavishnu Goswami began speaking from the asana one morning. Some devotees at the Bhagavatam class asked questions about who told him the information he brought up. Anyway, he apologized profusely and explained how he'd been manipulated by one of the temple committee. If only those placed in office were genuinely the representative of the spiritual master and not of their own desires. So the question is, how can we know who is a sincere follower? So the point he's making, that those in office should genuinely be the representative of Srila Prabhupada and not there primarily to fulfill their own material desires. Now here's a telling statement. Many of us have waited and waited patiently for Krishna to intervene, but still things go on as abnormal. That what we consider to be normal is, it shouldn't be like that. Waiting for Krishna to intervene, well, we're thinking of why should Krishna allow this to go on? Maybe the Pandavas thought that also. On and on and on, so many difficulties. Eventually, justice prevailed. But it took a long time. And he's also talking about how you try to tell the authorities something's wrong, but they, as he says, they close ranks. They back each other up. And there's nothing you can do. Consequently, he says, as I don't live in a temple environment as of the last 20 years, in many cases, I opt to serve with or under some and keep a respectful distance from others. Sorry, but I have to judge. My life has been put on the line several times. I put my faith in so-and-so, and fortunately I had the good sense not to go with him after being requested to. Similarly, we put our faith in so-and-so, someone else, and saw him make off with huge amounts of money and even implicate many of us in paying off credit cards he maxed out. Similarly, the former so-and-so temple president lived this was well known for years, it's way back in the 1980s, lived a life of luxury at the expense of the temple devotees, his wife dripping in gold, 2 trips to India per year, all expenses paid, driving an Audi 80 car, expensive car. But he had no job or source of income other than being the temple president for 15 years. Sannyasis being doted over by young girls and even married women, socializing and having a, quote, good time, unquote, in the name of preaching. So many things, quote, authorities, unquote. In some ways, I can sympathize with those who adhere to some aspects of the Ritvik deviation due to what they may also have experienced, and with no, quote, Prabhupada figure, unquote, to turn for absolute shelter and guidance. Still, I do have faith in some authorities, despite all that has gone down over the last 35 years or so, but also many things I've conveniently forgotten so as not to dwell on and try to preserve my faith in the process. So that's one devotee's response. And there are many devotees like that. They're householders and they keep in contact but with the movement, but some distance, more distance than contact. And they associate with devotees that they can relate with. Now, I didn't ask him to write this letter. I just sent the essay on authority without just the principle of authority, how we should follow authority. Srila Prabhupada said we should follow the GBC. There's actually one letter in which Srila Prabhupada writes that we should follow the GBC under all circumstances. But then in that essay I also write how there was one circumstance where it was bizarre situation. It was about 1974, and the GBC man had married someone. It was a really strange situation. She said she was the heir of the Toyota company. It was complete bluff. She was having chicken cooked and offered to the deities, to Radha Govinda in the New York temple, among other things. And she claimed that her husband was an incarnation of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And this went on for some time, and eventually it was brought to Prabhupada's notice. And Prabhupada's response that was that the junior devotees, they were right to follow the leaders, but the more senior devotees who should have known better, they should have protested. So the statement that we should follow the GBC in all circumstances is not, doesn't mean that those who know better should just go along with it. So here's another letter. Again, I just send them the essay. I didn't ask them to open their hearts and express their distress, actually. And there are many, many devotees who have this distress that they gave their lives in service to the movement with all good faith and they felt cheated. Now, I get in trouble by saying this kind of things because devotees like who are coming newly like this and we're asking them to give their life, they may be discouraged. I'm not discouraging you from giving your life to the movement, but look before you leap. Take that kind of association where your spiritual needs will be taken care of and where you will be in association with devotees who have your spiritual interest at heart and who want to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission without having other motives also, just like putting themselves in a big position and in some cases getting lots of money for themselves, which we see here in India, that. And in other parts of the world also. There are some leaders, not all, shouldn't just say everyone's insincere, but there are some who, for them, devotees are servants or whatever to be used to promote their own interest. There may be some desire to serve Srila Prabhupada, but it's mixed with other desires also. So, another letter. Just excuse me, it's a little difficult to sit cross-legged for a long time. It's easier like this. So, another letter then. I remember years ago you writing to me, said to me, soon they will be saying that Prabhupada is wrong. I looked at you incredulously and you simply looked back at me and said, you'll see. Sure enough, I got back to America and that was the first time I started hearing such nonsense. So it is only a matter of time before such deviancy as the Bhaktivedanta Family Planning Institute appears in some small village in Karnataka, because I I'd said to, there was some, this is not the first letter he wrote. He wrote something and then I wrote back. I'd said that in some of my lectures, I'd said that it's only a matter of time before we'll see the Bhaktivedanta abortion clinic. And I'm not joking. Because if we're once you start deviating, then there's no bottom. We see already there in Andhra Pradesh, we'll see plenty of Saptagiri wine shop and all this kind of thing. And I saw also that in Secunderabad, I can't remember exactly, Balaji mutton shop and all this kind of thing. And the biggest slaughterhouse in India? Balaji Venkateshwar Gohatya Shala, something like that. And there are many like that. This Venkatesh Hatcheries, that's quite a big one, isn't it? Venkatesh Hatcheries, it's a big company. So now we're promoting hospitals, and we're not going to get everywhere. Devotees, and even the devotees themselves, they're not trained properly. So it's only a matter of time before we start having abortions. And in fact, you'll read in this letter, one devotee is writing to me. There was in the letter, I think, previous to this. Yeah, in the letter previous to this, he told me that he wrote to me and he said that he'd been speaking with a devotee who was arguing. Oh, that's my battery. It's not lasting hardly at all. He was arguing, speaking with a devotee who was saying that abortion's okay. So you see, this is in America. I can look for that letter actually. I should have gotten that letter up also. Yeah, here's. Here's what he wrote. The problem I'm seeing here in America is that so many devotees are adopting the attitudes of progressive liberals and then abandoning the opinions of the acharyas. For example, I recently had a devotee argue with me in support of abortion. Absolutely absurd, yet this devotee seems to believe he is a devotee, even though he holds contrary beliefs to our acharyas. How can you be a sincere follower of Srila Prabhupada if you accept a guru to get trained in spiritual knowledge, but you have a completely different opinion on major issues? Is it within the scope of your book to handle this controversy, or may it need to be dealt with in a separate book? So in reply, I wrote to that, I do not consider anyone who supports abortion to be a devotee. My books are not meant for such people, nor is there anything anyone could say to them to change their mind. That is up to Yamaraj. In lectures, I've several times said that it's only a matter of time before we see the first Bhaktivedanta abortion clinic. I am not joking. There are many important topics that I desire to write on and that will be important for future devotees who want to Srila Prabhupada. Let us see if Krishna gives me enough time for all this writing. So yeah, and then he wrote with this reply that I'm presently reading. Then the next sentence, Bhaktivedanta Family Planning Institute means abortion clinic. Just like they have this in America, there's the Family Planning Institute or something like that. A huge organization all over the world. They organize abortions and sterilization and all this kind of thing. They help the progress of backward countries by cutting their population. So, and then his next sentence. I mean, whoever would have thought that one of our sannyasis would be officiating over a gay wedding? But then he wrote to me that, where is it? He wrote that, well, actually, We may disagree with them, but they all love Srila Prabhupada. So I wrote back that their love manifests very strangely. Dr. Strangelove. I attribute this to the fact that most ISKCON members have a purely utilitarian viewpoint in which they argue that the ends justify the means. The devotees don't seem to realize that you can't compromise your principles to tell people that they should stick to their principles. It is an absurd premise to operate under. I see some new Americans joining here, but they're all pretty much garbage. The average American who now joins ISKCON is a 40-year-old divorcee vegan woman, who has one kid from a previous marriage, practices yoga, and is a staunch Democrat. There is nothing you can say at all to them except chant Hare Krishna. So that's a danger also, whether we're having kirtan melas, but no philosophy. Now we're just going to start from tomorrow, Shravan Kirtan. Not just everyone come and chant and no philosophy, and do what you like, think what you like, and we're all devotees. But it's not going to work. So I'll just read something else from Transcendental Diary by Srila Prabhupada, which I just sent out on BVKS Sangha. Srila Prabhupada told some of his disciples, "Our preaching will go on only if we have spiritual strength. We may have external strength, but success will only come if we have spiritual strength. Preaching programs will work only if there is purity." Then, citing the example of one of his leading godbrothers in the Gauriya Math, he, Srila Prabhupada, pointed out that his godbrother, had all kinds of material facility, money, mutts, etc. But what had he done for spreading Krishna consciousness? He explained that simply amassing material wealth will not bring spiritual success, nor does it signify success. He gave the example of milk touched by a serpent. It looks like milk, but it is spoiled. How do we keep our spiritual strength? Prabhupada asked. We can keep our spiritual strength by being very strict Vaishnavas, he told us. By strictly following the principles and not giving any consideration whatsoever to Maya's allurements. Simple principle. Maya is always trying to weaken us, he said. But if we think only of Krishna, we will have spiritual strength. If we think of something else, then we will have no transcendental potency. As always, Srila Prabhupada emphasized that we must remain strictly regulated and chant all our rounds every day. So there are some thoughts. That's it. Collapsed. All right, you're just a second. Well, 20 seconds too late. It's all right, you can leave it now. I'm not planning to read it. It takes such a long time to boot up again anyway. So that's in summary. But we shall go on. Just like Srila Prabhupada was not discouraged, he went on serving his spiritual master. So we shall go on serving Srila Prabhupada. Even if we don't make much impact, well, we have to serve at least for our own sake also. And there may be something there for future generations to see. Hopefully there will come a time in the world when people who are interested in Krishna consciousness start to think, well, actually, we'd like to be actually Krishna conscious and look at Prabhupada's books and see what's there. Because there's an increasingly wide gap between what Srila Prabhupada teaches and what those who are supposed to be his followers practice. So hopefully at some point people who are newly coming to Krishna consciousness will say that, well, I want what's in the books, not what I don't want to be like you, I want to be what's described in the books. So if there's some example, then devotees can take advantage of that. So we should all strive to be pure devotees. There's a saying in English, holier than thou. An attitude of thinking, I'm much better than you. We have to be careful not to get into that also. But at the same time, we have to differentiate between what should be done and what should not be done. So if we say that so many things that are going on in the name of Krishna consciousness are not actually Krishna conscious, that's a statement of fact. It's not that we want to say that we're better than you, but we do want to follow Srila Prabhupada. And this is not. Having Bollywood dancing at Rathiatras is not what Srila Prabhupada wanted. Srila Prabhupada didn't come from the spiritual world to set up a society which goes down to the most rubbish level like that. Okay. Any questions, comments? I'm sure I'll get some protests once this is out on the internet. And some appreciate also. Some appreciate also. Mostly the big leaders don't appreciate. There used to be a saying, the mushroom devotees, because mushrooms grow in stool, so keep them in the dark and feed them stool. Usually said with a less polite word than stool. Keep them in the dark and feed them. Keep them in the dark means don't let them know what's going on. Yeah. Most of the time you don't have to bother about this if you're in the farm project especially. Live simply, chant Hare Krishna. That's it. And even most of the time, you go out, you distribute books, this, that. Most of the time you don't have to bother. But time to time they cause some problems for you. Yeah. We should see what Srila Prabhupada used to do and follow. Yeah, but that also requires some intelligence, as in the story of the man and the donkey and his son, for instance. Or what's another better example of that? There's another example of that. One boy was studying veterinary science. You know the story? Yeah. So one horse was brought with a big lump in his throat. So the doctor looked at it and he got a stick and he smashed on the throat and the lump broke and the horse was okay. So after some time the apprentice thought, I don't have to spend so much time, I already learned everything. So he went out and announced himself as I'm a veterinarian. So someone brought a horse with a swelling on the throat. So the so-called doctor got a stick and hit it hard on the throat and killed the horse. So the owner of the horse wasn't very happy. So when the guru who he had abandoned, or he just imitated him without understanding, when he came to know, he said that horse which I hit, he had something like a loki caught in his throat. So when I hit it with a stick, it smashed it and he could swallow it and he was okay. But in the case of this horse, he had a goiter. So he hit it and killed it. What is a goiter? I know it's a swelling. What is it? I see. So there is time, place, and circumstance, but time, place, and circumstance is used to supposedly justify all kinds of deviations. So you have to be very careful of this time, place, and circumstance. And yukta vairagya is another one. These two are the most misused principles. Yeah. Definitely there will be different personalities, not everyone's exactly the same. Which is one reason why Srila Prabhupada did give different instructions to different people. But some things are very plain. I gave some examples yesterday. The supposed to be devotee rising at 8 o'clock in the morning, and then when I said you shouldn't do it, you have to get up early, then he said, well, Srila Prabhupada said that his father used to get up late, ignoring all the shastric injunctions, the dozens of times Srila Prabhupada said we have to rise early, his own personal example, and taking this, which Srila Prabhupada said my father used to, he didn't say you should. So that's an example of insincerely quoting Srila Prabhupada, or quoting to try to justify something which it's actually his insincerity. If you tell him that, he'll be very upset. Because no one thinks I'm a rascal. But that doesn't mean there are no rascals in the world. Then another example I gave of the devotee I asked to clean the room, and then I came back after the morning program and it was uncleaned, and then I sent someone to call him. And so what happened? He said, oh, I went to sleep. So I understood he was insincere, and later his insincerity became quite apparent. So some things are very clear. And there are things which are mainstream in ISKCON today, which, I said this several times, which when Srila Prabhupada was personally present here, would clearly have been understood to be deviations from Srila Prabhupada's instructions. Did it stop being a deviation because Srila Prabhupada isn't present? You may say, well, we're bringing many people in, but into what? Is our aim to be like Sri Sri Ravi Shankar and have many followers? You may say, we're getting many people to chant Hare Krishna. Well, Sai Baba got many people to chant Hare Krishna and Vishnu Nam, they'd sing Govinda, 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 Govinda. You've heard that? The Sai Baba followers. But that's Nama Parada. You have to give them the proper understanding also. That's another quote I just sent out, that Kirtan without Shravan, that won't be effective. One has to hear the philosophical understanding. And that I read yesterday, Narada Bhakti Sutra, that chanting without hearing about the glories of the Lord, that will not be proper bhakti. So you may get many people to chant Hare Krishna, but that doesn't necessarily... There's so many upper sampradayas, they're chanting Hare Krishna, but they're called upper sampradayas. So that's why I read that, Srila Prabhupada says, it's not necessarily success. It doesn't necessarily mean if you have followers and buildings. The real success is Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Kori Aikya. But it may be subtle and difficult to understand. Some things, in the beginning, it may be subtle and difficult to understand, but then generally we see those who become deviant, they become more and more and more and more. But if it's a slow rate of progression, then you may not see it. And it generally seems that those who are at the top of the pile, those who are supposed to be guarding the movement, they're the last ones who can see it. Because they're their friends. They all come together. You had some experience long ago in your spiritual life that really you were pushed into taking initiation. You wanted to take initiation with someone, you were pushed to, and you followed the authority, and that was a major thing in your life which you didn't want to do, but you were pushed in. That was a misuse of authority, wasn't it? You made some adjustment later. But that's the kind of thing that goes on. Such a major decision. But that's standard here in India, that people are pushed, you take initiation here. Which is why I tell my disciples, don't push anyone toward me. You should all look and see. Hear. Hear, understand, then come for initiation. You have to make a commitment to follow. You should know what you're following. But in many cases, I don't think these things are even understood at the time of initiation. There's a commitment. Now the GBC have made some course that everyone's supposed to take before they take initiation. I'm not sure what's in that course. I saw that in the Ritvik initiation, from so-called initiation from Bangalore, there's a whole list of conditions before you can get your imaginary initiation from Srila Prabhupada. The number one is that you have to give regular donations to the temple. Bangalore, ISKCON Bangalore, it's just business, that's all.
Study Shabbat books, chant 16 rounds, follow different principles. But we see those who are deviating.
Some of them do that also.
So it seems that something more intrinsic.
Yeah, one has to have the attitude of anyabhilashita shunyam, I mean, and not be crooked, akapat. That's. We'll find Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and his followers. They use this again and again and again. Because the situation he was preaching in, he was preaching in Bengal and Orissa where there are many Vaishnavas. But he saw that most of them were kapat or insincere. In the name of Vaishnavism, they were going on with something else. Therefore he wrote, Mantumi kisha Vaishnava. Pratishta tare nirjane ghare tava harinama kevala kaita. You see someone, they've left the world, they live alone so that no one disturbs them, they're chanting Hare Krishna. They look like a great Vaishnava, but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, you're doing it for just to be known as a great Vaishnava. So he analyzed all this, and then he made his so many lectures he gave on all of this, and he wrote another poem, the Prakrita Rasa Shatadushini. That should be analyzed with commentary. It's a bit beyond the philosophical understanding of those who keep everything very superficial. Rati age shraddha pache rupa noga balena. It's full of statements like that. That first of all you get it, some taste and feeling, and then faith can come right. Faith is not amazing. Shastriya, shraddha, that's, they don't bother, they just go straight up to the higher levels. Why bother with all this in-between stuff? But it doesn't work. And then you get this, what is that? Nake tila galai mala, shonge ek pare bala. You dress as a Vaishnava, but you've got someone else's wife with you. That's what comes out of it. That's one major distinguishing mark of Srila Prabhupada. You see all these yoga here, but they don't preach no illicit sex, no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication. At the Gita Bhavan, it's understood. I don't think they preach it, but it's understood that those who partake in it, there's no meat eating, no gambling, no smoking inside the premises. Although some of them, when they go out, they may smoke. And no, actually wine. Actually in this whole of Rishikesh, no meat eating is allowed. I read. But mostly these yoga teachers, they don't teach any such thing. Probably most of their followers are vegetarian, but in the West, followers of yoga and this and that, illicit sex for them is as, it's as normal as doing yogasanas. They don't, and that's very much there in the whole New Age thing, that we all love each other and we embrace each other. And that's quite common. You'll see this if you go to the West. Men and women, when they meet, they embrace each other. It's completely bogus, isn't it? In our ISKCON, yes. Yes. Because that's the new way. Among the new age people, we see each, we're all souls. Well, they don't have any new age, they just, everyone loves each other. So, but we'll see in ISKCON also. I've seen. Seems inconceivable. You see photos of the GBC meetings, you'll see. One sannyasi is sitting, one woman is sitting, another sannyasi is sitting. Maybe they're all 60 or 70 years old, but still they shouldn't be doing any of what women are doing in the GBC in the first place. That's another question. But it's all this idea, we're all equal and we're all spirit soul. No. Reference to the ancient culture to which we belong. The thing is that they think that they actually think that the Western culture is superior. And this Krishna West manifesto says that actually in the West we have the best social system in the history of the world, and so we should follow that and be Krishna conscious. And gradually the whole world is going toward that. They actually believe this nonsense. So there's some very, very sick things which I'm just informing you of. But those who are sick insist that they're healthy, and that those who point out that these problems are there, they are offenders. They are sick. I haven't been to any of these Kirtan Melas. They don't invite me. I wouldn't want to go anyway, because I'm sure you'll get all these men embracing women and all this kind of thing. Common now in our temples in the West. Because they don't preach philosophy as it should be preached, maybe in a very mild or very roundabout kind of way, not making it clear that we are all suffering in this material world due to our misuse of independence, We have to surrender to Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that requires great commitment. We have to be very serious about it. It's just a love. Good feeling, that's the main thing. There should be good feeling. When we come in the satsang, there should be good feeling. Good feeling will come if we are Krishna conscious. But that requires to give up material desires. For that we have to follow principles. If we don't emphasize these things, then we'll get all kinds of people who are spiritual according to their own misunderstanding. It's a contamination. You told me, right, that in Ranchi there was a program done by one of our sannyasis who has a preaching style which is just the kind we're talking about, very light and not giving much philosophy and a lot of talk of anecdotes from his own life and trying to make people feel good. And the next day you gave a lecture in the same city, of which many people attended, who'd been there the previous night. And you, I don't know what you said, but I presume in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Shastra. So then people asked, why didn't the Swami the night before speak on Shastra also? I was very happy recently in Modasa, a small town in Gujarat, that I gave a public lecture there, and it came in the newspaper the next day. The reporter said, Shastra Dharit. He noted about my lecture. Shastra Dharit, based on... Sorry? Oh, you gave a press note and they printed it. But there was one of them who was there and he reported what I said. That was a different one. In one of the papers, they gave a summary of what I said. Was it not? I see, okay. Usually even if you give it to them, they doctor it. They change it, because they can't tolerate pure Krishna consciousness. That always, Aravind Daksh used to do that. Every time I went to Surat, he gave a summary and gave it to the Rajasthan Patrika. And that would come, which is maybe the biggest newspaper. It's definitely the biggest Hindi newspaper. For Hindi, yeah, which means mostly the well-to-do people. They read that. The well-to-do Hindi speakers. The thing is that every day they have reports, because every day in Surat there's some katha or satsang, so it may not make such a big impression. Even all the newspapers in Gujarat Samachar, Sandesh, at least once a week they have one whole page on dharma. What they call dharma, that's their own concoction, but it's still there. I think Gujarat is quite good in that respect. I don't see that elsewhere. And in Gujarat also on Ram Naomi, on the papers, on the front page they'll have a picture of Ram, Bhagavan. On Janmashtami they'll have a picture of Krishna. Others also, do they do anything for Durga Puja and Navaratri? They have a picture of Mataji. Yeah. So there is in Gujarat, it's still, they never lost that, which they lost in other places to a large extent. Of course, Gujaratis are also following Bhagavad Gita in the sense of Bhogaishvarya Prasaktanam. Both sides are there. That's why I say they're like demigods. They're Vishnu bhaktas, but they like to enjoy this world also. But they tend to be pious. But of course, that's declining day by day. Now in Gujarat, it's very quiet. Vala Vidyanaga, live in relationship. They didn't wait for the High Court, for the Supreme Court to say it's legal. It's just going on normally in Vala Vidyanaga. So, It's a mixture of good things and bad things. A lot of scope for preaching. But we should preach Krishna consciousness. One god brother I was discussing this with, he said in America it's so difficult that devotees are trying to do different things to try and preach. And I can accept that to some extent, because it is, it's difficult to get people to commit themselves. But why in India? If you preach Bhagavad Gita as it is in India, you may not get as many followers as Sri Sri Ravi Shankar or Ashram Bapa used to have. Where is he now? Is he in prison still or not?
Yeah.
Still in prison. But anyway, our first point is not to have followers. Number of followers. First thing is we want to see that people, we have to give the real thing. But by giving the real thing, many people will come. So it's not that we're in some desperate situation that if we preach Bhagavad Gita, no one's interested. People are interested. After maybe 30 years of intensive Bhagavad Gita distribution in India, it's still the best-selling book, Bhagavad Gita as it is. Srila Prabhupada's really established Bhagavad Gita in the Hindu consciousness because, well, it was there in North India with the Gita Press. But he's really brought the teachings. He and his followers, give credit where it's due, they've distributed so many Bhagavad Gitas in this country. So then we should preach on the basis of Bhagavad. People are interested, otherwise why are they buying it? We should preach on the basis of Bhagavad Gita. It's simple philosophy. And it makes sense. We're suffering in this material world. We should get out of this material world. We should accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Simple. Of course, you can get into some complex discussions also. Gita gives scope for that also. Atmanyevi atmana tushta. What is the meaning of atma in this sense? Because Mayavadis will interpret it differently. But the basic philosophy is very simple and straightforward and clear, and it's compelling. That means when we understand it, we have to act on it. You're all supposed to take prasad at 1 o'clock, isn't it? Okay, well, I'm going to go and take prasad anyway. That's one way of not trying to show that you want to do something for yourself. Just like there's that story of Srila Prabhupada with Mrs. Nair after Mr. Nair had died. And she brought some yogi because she thought Prabhupada would put some mystic spell on her. So she brought some yogi. And at one point he said that to Prabhupada, maybe you're feeling tired and want to take some rest. And Prabhupada said, yes, good idea. Then he said, Prabhupada went to his room and said, he said that actually he wants to take rest. So then he called Mrs. Nair, and when the yogi was asleep, he made the whole deal with her and finished it off. So you can all go and take prasad. For me, I only eat air. I'm a great tyagi. But you can go and take prasad. Hare Krishna.